Welcome back to Woman to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is your host, Kathy Thomas, and welcome back, and a blessed happy Easter to you all. Wouldn't it be neat if people were as excited about forgiving each other and forgiving themselves as they were on Easter eggs and going out to dinner and baking a ham for tomorrow? I mean, forgiveness is one of the things that takes the heaviness off of everything. And I'm just so excited to have Nan Brown Self, who is the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. Welcome to Woman, Nan.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for having me.
We got to know each other for a few minutes on the telephone the other day and had some good chuckles. So I'm really looking forward to this. Your book is so excellent, and I think what it does, because I started thinking of all these people I thought I'd forgiven, is it goes into not just saying, "Okay, I forgive you," but things that affect us. As far as not only the offender, but the other people you tell about the offense. And it's just a powerful book. Before we get started, we had a caller that called before you came on, and I told her to call right back now. So she's on the line with us. Margaret, are you there? Margaret, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Welcome to Woman. Did you have a question about forgiveness or a comment to Nan, who is the author of the book on forgiveness?
Well, I do. I had a situation where, let me back up and say that my parents, I would hear them talk about people that got divorced years ago, and it was not a common thing. And they were saying you need to be careful because you could end up marrying a man that you're going to be stuck with, dealing with him for the rest of your life if you ever divorce him through your children. And that's what's happened. And I've been able to forgive him. I've asked him for forgiveness. He was very arrogant, very, very obnoxious, to say the least. A couple of times I've gone to him and asked him by phone and in person directly. And I have a hard time. I don't know what this is, but I do. I choose to forgive him. And when I've been around him, I've been at peace. There's been a lot of peace, and the Lord has brought a lot of healing. And then there are seasons I go through where just thought of being around him makes me, it concerns me. It makes me sick because he smokes pot with my son, my grandchildren, and he used to teach Awanas, and then when he was caught for what he was doing to my son and I, what he was really doing, and it wasn't sexual, it was cruel though, very cruel, that he was removed from his position. He ended up marrying the third time, and married a woman in the occult, and the presence of that evil is so strong. And I don't know what forgiveness is, because is it wrong for me to not want to be around him because of the horrible influences that my children experience, and they're cruel to me because of, it's not them, it's the principalities, it's the things that are in him. Is it wrong for me not to want to be around him? I do forgive him. I choose to forgive him. Does it mean that I haven't forgiven him because I feel bad when I'm around him because the influence is so wicked.
Margaret, if it's okay with you, I think Nan has a little bit of an idea about it. Let's see what Nan has to say. Okay, Nan?
Margaret, this is a really difficult situation for you. I completely understand. I know for a fact that when you ask forgiveness of this man, God heard you. Maybe the man did not hear you, and he was not able to forgive. One reason some people will not forgive is it's like there's a scale, and if one person on one side of the scale says, "Will you forgive me?" then the other person on the other side has to be accountable. And he was not prepared to be accountable. So you have gone through the steps of forgiveness. God has forgiven you. And you just said to us that you've already received some healing and some peace. But you're also saying it doesn't seem to be steady. It's not there all the time. But that, you know, one of the things you're going through is the stages of, you know, there's some stages of death and dying. There's the anger, there's the bargaining, etc. And many times when we have to walk through really difficult things, we go one step forward and then maybe one step back, but we keep going forward. And you are going forward. You want the best for yourself and for your children. And God knows that. But you are right. There are many principalities levied against this coming to a peaceful and contented situation with both people feeling peace and healing. So you are doing exactly what you need to do. God has seen you. He has heard you. Now, I want to tell you a story, Margaret, and this may help you. I do hope it helps you. It's a very difficult story. It's in the last chapter of my wound, my last part of my wound chapter. But there was a woman that came to a church where I was attending one time, and she got up and told us the story of forgiveness. And she said that her daughter was raped and murdered by a man. And then he raped and murdered her roommate. So that's two daughters that have been killed. Then the man who tried to rescue the girls, he beat him up. And so the lady said to us, it took me 5 years before I could even think of forgiving. And then it took me 7 years more to forgive him. But she said, here's what happened to me. She said, I was driving back and forth through all, you know, in the car for all of the courthouse dates and et cetera. And she said, one day I was driving in the car and I called out to God and I said, God, how can I ever forgive him for what he did? And she says to us that God spoke to her audibly in that car and he said, you do not have to forgive him for what he did, but you do have to forgive him. And so right then she realized that God was giving her the key. You separate the offender from the offense. And that's what she did. So she was able to do that through God's grace. Then she went and told the other family who lost the daughter and the man who was beaten up that she had forgiven the murderer. And they thought about it, and they decided that they would forgive him too. And there was a new program at the prison where he was incarcerated. And it allowed anyone from a family who had a grievous wound, which, of course, this is the most grievous wound, that you could see the perpetrator and visit with them. So she prepared herself, and she went to the prison, and she sat down, and she told him that she had forgiven him. And she said that when she did that, peace flooded her soul. And she said 2 weeks later, he was executed. But she had the peace of God that passes all understanding. So what I'm saying to you is, you separate all of these offenses from the offender. You take them to God. You ask God to take them, the burden of them from you, and you ask him to help you walk in forgiveness, peace, and healing. Because, Margaret, what will happen if you don't let go of this and you choose not to forgive, then you will always be carrying your past with you. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to forgive so that you can release the past. And now you can live in the present, and you can look forward to the future.
Sister, I'm hearing you, and I want to forgive, and I choose to. Yeah. And you know, I need prayers because my children treat me like trash because of the lifestyle they have with my ex-husband, and the influence, the horrible, evil influences. And so that's why it's so hard because it's been a continual thing for 30 years. Horrible.
Oh,
and I really want, breakthroughs. I want it to come to an end. And I want to be at peace. And, you know, I would even like to, you know, give him, you know, food and you know, touch him, you know, in the sense of that way, because when your enemy's there, you feed him. I choose that. I want that. I want him to give me a forgiving heart. And I've gone through years of working on forgiveness and choosing and getting the freedom. And then the Lord has me here where I'm having to face it again and the way my children treat me because of the influences that he has and the way he is. It's just shocking, and it's constantly in my face no matter what I do. So please pray for me.
Yes, well, let's pray for you right now. Can we pray for you right now?
We're going to be taking a break, Margaret. So how about we will have Nan pray for you. I'll be praying along with you as well as John. And then I hope you come and pick up the copy of the book, because Nan goes into such a deep depth that has helped me so much that I know you would be helped. And it's free when you pick it up. So go ahead, Nan. And then when you're finished, we'll take our break.
Okay. Lord, you've heard the confession of Margaret. She wants to forgive. She chooses to forgive. So we are in agreement with her that right now, from the throne of your grace, you will give her all of the love and all of the grace that she needs to let go of the past. We are agreeing with her, and it says where two or three are gathered together in your name, it shall be done. And so we consider this done for Margaret, and we also consider it done for the children, because they are observing everything that's going on. So, Father, by your grace and because of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you that all of this man's sins are now, by faith, nailed to death upon the cross, and that you are removing the burden of this unforgiveness from Margaret in her body, soul, and spirit. And we give you the praise, and we thank you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. We're going to take an early break. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman. My very special guest is Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. I don't know how many books we have left. How many books have we got left? Okay. And we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Woman, a call-in program focused on helping you become everything you desire to be as a woman in Christ. There is so much more to come, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Advertising on this station works.
So the first time you came on and you talked about what you guys do over there, the Corner Connect Realty executives, the phone started ringing.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Met you, came on here and did a nice little 15 minutes or whatever and went to the office. As soon as I got there, got a phone call. Lady said, "You guys buy homes?" I said, "Absolutely." We sent somebody out there, took a look at it, bought it, closed within 7 days, and she was really happy. So you guys are great.
To learn more about how you can effectively promote your business, give me a call, Mary Martin, at 791-7202.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The abortion facility Planned Parenthood is most proud of is their flagship killing center in Washington, D.C. A local magazine did a puff piece featuring images of its interior. Planned Parenthood CEO bragged they designed the facility to look like Starbucks or Apple computer stores. All of this visual surrounding is designed to distract women from the reality they're killing their unborn children. Hot pink walls and luxurious contemporary seating won't comfort them after their abortions. It won't be Starbucks coffee keeping the mothers and fathers awake at night. It'll be the haunting memories they ended the lives of their babies through abortion. And Planned Parenthood, in all of its architectural beauty, won't be there to help the parents pick up the pieces of their lives.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Praise God. The Northside Church of Christ invites you to tune in to this station every Saturday at 3 p.m. for our weekly live program called Show Me the Scripture. Our purpose is to edify the saved, evangelize the lost, and encourage all using God's Word. If you have a Bible question, then call us and we will provide you with a Bible answer. So tune in, call a friend, and open God's Word as we search the Scriptures together. God bless.
KGMS Tucson, KNXN Sierra Vista.
Welcome back to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is your host, Kathy Thomas, and my very special guest is Nan Brown Self, the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. And this book will give you insights, suggestions, worksheets, prayers, from her background as a counselor, from her life where she's experienced hurt, from the things she's tried and other people have tried to know how you can actually make space for grace. What is the connection? And we ask you to keep Margaret in prayer too, folks. What is the connection, Nan, between grace and forgiveness?
Well, the connection is a wonderful connection. When I began to study forgiveness, I realized that if anyone offends me or anyone else through unkind words, criticism, or judgment, I always had two choices. First, I could choose to receive the grace that God offered me immediately when someone offended me and choose not to hold the offense against the offender by forgiving and releasing them. So that grace is provided immediately. Or I could refuse God's grace and take the offense into my heart and hold the offender accountable through my sin of unforgiveness. And when I will not forgive, then I put myself into the prison of unforgiveness. And in order to be released from that prison, I need to confess my sins of unforgiveness and repent of them. And then I am released from the binding power of my sin and the prison of unforgiveness.
Nan, isn't unforgiveness probably one of the biggest blocks to us in our lives?
I believe so, because it unforgiveness erects walls between you and God, between you and yourself, and between you and others. And when I began to study forgiveness, I realized that many of my prayers were not being answered because I was walking in unforgiveness. So when I learned the principles of forgiveness and about God's amazing grace in providing it for us, then I began to see answers to my prayers, and many of the people that I shared these principles with would come up and say, "Oh my goodness, some of my prayers are being answered. I'm so excited."
So you really believe, based on God's word and your studies, that unforgiveness hinders our prayers?
It does hinder our prayers. Yes, it does.
That's important, folks. We need to think of that, because we'll say, why do we not seem to be getting through? And it doesn't mean that even if we're doing it right, that God's saying now's the time. But that's so important. And what's so beautiful about this book is there's worksheets, there's questions. So oftentimes, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God may have brought this book just to our attention so you could understand a lot of times why. And forgiveness does not mean that you let the person continue to abuse you. What, you have a wonderful chapter on bitter root judgment. What does that have to do with forgiveness?
Well, bitter root judgment is very interesting. I think any study of forgiveness needs bitter root judgment in it. Bitter root judgment is a judgment that a person makes at some time during their childhood against their father, their mother, or their caregiver. And many times it's a subconscious judgment that goes down into their heart. And then, because of the law of sowing and reaping and the law of judgment, the person who makes this judgment condemns themselves to do the very thing that they've judged in their parents. And the law of expectation causes them to expect that whatever they judged in one or both parents will be done to them by the people who are in significant relationships with them. So the way you identify bitter roots is to look at your relationship dynamics with important family members and friends and see what repeated problems do you have with people who are important to you, and ask God to show you what are your bitter roots.
So an example might be an alcoholic parent who the child ends up becoming alcoholic, even though they've been hurt by this, and then the grandchild becomes an alcoholic because they've been hurt, even though each one did not want to have that happen, right?
Right, yes. It can certainly go through the generations. And, you know, some people have said to me, well, tell me more about these bitter root judgments. I just don't understand them. So I made a small list. It is a small list. But if a person judges their parent for being critical, that can be a judgment. Or being emotionally unavailable, never being satisfied with what they do, never being able to please the other person, being a workaholic, abandoning them, never having enough time, never giving them affection, being cold and insensitive, never listening, or being coercive and manipulative. Those are just some of the bitter root judgments that we can have against our parents. And then we end up reaping them in our relationships.
How do we root them out?
Well, first of all, we pray and ask God to show us what they are. Now, it took me, Kathy, 3 weeks, and I had studied this a lot. It took me 3 weeks to begin to make my list of bitter root judgments because God needed to show me a lot of things about the past. He needed to show me a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. And so I began to make the list. But I remember back to that time, and I was reluctant to make a list because I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm judging them again. But then God showed me. He said, no, I want you to make the list so you can take responsibility for the judgments that you made. Then you can take them to the cross, ask me to put them to death, ask me to take out the hardness in your heart, give you a new heart of flesh, and then ask me to meet the needs in you that were not met as a child. The needs for unconditional love, acceptance, worth and value, security, recognition, nurture, emotional nourishment, and comfort. And see, only God can meet those needs. Our parents do the best that they can. But it goes back to the old saying, you can't give away what you don't have.
Amen. And one of the things you mentioned so beautifully in there is that some people, and you said you did it yourself, I know I've been guilty of it, wanting to do the right thing by the Lord, that we forgive too quickly. We haven't really thought about it. We just say, okay, I forgive them. And so that's why all this waiting on the Lord is so important.
Absolutely it is. And sometimes I think we talk too much when we think we're waiting on the Lord. We need to give him time. And he can do things in our lives that are clues. And we need to start looking for the signs that God is giving us, that we have got problems in our relationships that go all the way back to our parents.
You know, it's so interesting when you were saying, well, go ahead, I'll mention it later.
Well, no, it's what is really important is to remember that one of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and thy mother in your land so that all will go well with you. So it is a promise. If we will honor them, well, if we judge them, that is total dishonor. So we need to ask God to show us wherever we have dishonored our parents, or if you were raised by a caregiver, wherever you dishonored your caregiver, because we want to reverse that and take it to the cross.
And I think just to make clear to our listeners, it does not mean that we're saying that they didn't do terrible things per se. But we're releasing them from that, correct?
Absolutely. We are asking forgiveness for our part in judging them. And we're taking the judgment to the cross. And God is readily accepting it for us and setting us free.
Folks, if you would like a copy of the book, we have a few copies left. You can call us. We have the copies free at Good Message Network. You can call us at 520-790-5663. You can also go to kgms.com and go to the shop page for Woman to Woman, and you can purchase a copy of Nan's book, Forgiveness Making Space for Grace. And also, it's on Amazon. And is it in any bookstores that you know of?
Yes, it's in several bookstores. Barnes & Noble has it, and there are other bookstores that do.
So, and if you have a Christian bookstore in your area, ask them if they have it too. So I encourage you, if you would like to talk with Nan, we have a little bit of time left. You can call us at 520-790-5663. It's such an important book because you don't want to stay in the prison. I found myself with my divorce years ago that I was being controlled by not forgiving. And so God knew what he was talking about when he said, forgive Kathy. And that's what's so important. Each of you has a story. This is Kathy Thomas with Woman to Woman. I hope you have a blessed Easter, but stay tuned. The best is yet to come.
You're listening to Woman, a call-in program focused on helping you become everything you desire to be as a woman in Christ. There is so much more to come, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don Stevens here of MercyShips.org with today's Mercy Minute. Jeremy was born with severe learning problems and a terminal illness. He was a 12-year-old in a second-grade classroom. At Easter, his teacher, Mrs. Miller, gave her 19 students plastic eggs to fill with something that showed new life. The next day, the children put their eggs in a basket. Mrs. Miller opened each one and found things like a flower and a plastic butterfly. Then she opened an egg that was empty and moved on. Jeremy said, "Aren't you going to talk about my egg?" Mrs. Miller replied, "But Jeremy, your egg is empty." He answered softly, "Yes, but Jesus' tomb was empty too." Sadly, just 3 months later, Jeremy died. There were 19 empty plastic eggs on top of his casket. Jeremy was right. At Easter, we celebrate the empty tomb, the single greatest example of mercy. This is Don Stevens of MercyShifts.org, bringing hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor.
You wouldn't steal from a department store, would you? Shoplifting doesn't only hurt the store owners, it puts every employee's job in jeopardy. And if everyone shoplifted, it would weaken local economies to the point of unsustainability. The same principle applies to Social Security fraud. People who receive more benefits than they should or illegally get benefits by lying to Social Security aren't just making the system insecure, they're literally stealing from honest taxpayers. Anyone can report fraud anonymously. You can learn more about Social Security's relentless anti-fraud efforts at www.socialsecurity.gov/antifraudfacts. We aggressively investigate and pursue prosecution of those who try to cheat and steal from the system. Shoplifting and stealing from your neighbors is morally and ethically wrong. The same goes for stealing from Social Security. If you suspect someone is committing Social Security fraud, report it online at http://oig.ssa.gov/report or call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
Welcome back to Woman, a program designed for a woman's heart. If you would like to join in the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 790-5663. That's 790-5663. And now back to the program.
Hi, this is your host, Kathy Thomas, and my very special guest, I wish we had a two-hour program because we were just getting into this, is Nan Brown Self, who is the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. We have a caller on the line. William, are you there? William?
Hello, William.
Hi, William. Do you have a question or a comment for Nan?
Well, it's more in general, but when people, let's say, are taken advantage of by other people, be it in business or whatever, for monies or for services, and you sometimes come back to those people, or even if you don't, isn't it hard to forgive under those circumstances, or especially if one passes on at the same time? I mean, we come into many different, come across many different people. And I know they're learning experiences, but they do eat away at you.
So, William, anytime you have a grievance or an offense has been done to you, then you have a tie that goes from your soul to their soul. The way that you loose that tie permanently is through forgiveness. And whatever they did to you, whenever they did it, God immediately offered you the grace to forgive. It was grace from the heart of God. That's what forgiveness is. So you may not have known that he was offering you that grace. But grace can be offered at any time. And so right now, because of this difficult situation for you, God is offering you his grace to forgive. And you take it and receive the forgiveness. And then what God wants you to do is to begin to forgive others and give that forgiveness away. Because when Jesus died on the cross for our forgiveness, God always intended for us to give the forgiveness we received to others. You've got a really difficult situation. There are probably a lot of hurt feelings. And all of these can be taken to the Lord, and he will receive them from you, and he will give you his grace to be set free.
And I understand that. How do we know we really forgive someone, or for whatever incident it might be? And do we, therefore, at some future time frame, approach that as if it never occurred and try to possibly even enter into some form of a relationship again with that person or party?
Okay, so answer to your first question, how do we know that it really happened? Well, one of the litmus tests that can tell you that, it's not the only one, but it's the one that says if you can be in their presence and you are okay and you feel okay and you have some sort of peace, then you have forgiven. When you forgive somebody, God's not asking us to become their best friend, but he is asking us to release them from our own unforgiveness. Okay, now tell me the second question again.
Well, that's fairly similar. Should one enter into a relationship again, saying, you know, forgetting about the past entirely and start anew?
I think that anyone can try that, because I think that it's very important that to start over, you close the door on the past and you very actively do not remember their sin. And if you will take
that.
Yeah, if you will take that to God, he will help you not remember their sin. And a new relationship is possible. I mean, that's what Jesus Christ is all about. He's about the newness of life.
Absolutely. Thank you. I would agree with you on all you've said. It's just that you never know what the other person's intentions are going to be again.
That's true. That's true. But God will bless you in every step that you take toward him.
Thanks so much, William, or her.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. I hope you pick up your book.
And both of you.
Thank you so much. You know, we have so little time left. Can you just tell me, people, you've got to get a copy of this book, Forgiveness Making Space for Grace by Nan Brown Self. Can you just give me maybe one or two steps that you talk about in your book and the steps of forgiveness?
Okay. Well, first of all, you need to know what you're asking forgiveness for, and that's where we come into asking for God's help. And many people say, oh, I can't possibly make a list like that. It'll be too overwhelming. And I said, God will take you exactly where you are, and he will only take you as far as he wants you to go. So you have to make some sort of list, because you have to know what you're asking forgiveness for. And then let's just suppose you have the sin of unforgiveness, and then you elaborate to God about what this looked like. And so you say, God, I lift my unforgiveness up to you, and I ask you to put it to death on the cross. I ask you to deprive it of all life. That's Colossians 12 and 13. And then you ask God for a new heart, because if you had unforgiveness, you had hardness in your heart. So you say to God, God, please take out this unforgiveness in my heart and give me a forgiving, accepting heart. And then you receive that heart by faith. And then God, being the big God that he is, he is offering to meet the needs that were not met for you as a child. The needs for unconditional love, acceptance, worth and value, recognition, security, comfort, nurture, and nourishing. And so you thank God for doing that, and you receive all of his gifts by faith in the name of Jesus.
And you may have to do some of those things repeatedly. Like you said, it's not a 1, 2, 3 always, right?
Absolutely, it's not. And, you know, it's so interesting, Kathy, just preparing for the book being published, the Lord had me go to a really comprehensive 4-day meeting, and I came out knowing that I still had a lot of forgiving to do.
Just this last week, it's funny, just in going through this book, sitting down myself and asking the Lord, all of a sudden things popped into my mind that I haven't thought of for years, Nan. And I released them to the Lord. I didn't even think that bothered me anymore. So it's just, I think what your book is saying is God wants us to be free, and you're offering from your years of counseling and going through unforgiveness, just like we all have, and understanding a way to break free of that. I just want to thank you so much for being our guest. I wish we had more time, but what a blessing, and I hope God keeps using you to help people forgive and make space for grace.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, and I do say a very happy and blessed Easter to everyone who is listening, to you and your family.
God bless you, Nan. I just want to let the rest of you know we have just another minute or so. We have two books left. Otherwise, I'll give them away. I know people are already lined up for them. You can also go onto our shop page at Woman to Woman and get a copy, or anywhere else. I want to share that next week we're going to talk about, do you think you're a controlling woman? No, you're a Christian. You'd never be controlling. Do you really feel that you're really smarter than a lot of people? Or do you feel that you have to have everything just so things won't go wrong? I know I've fallen out of that place a lot of times. We have a wonderful book on control. And the blessing, folks, is these wonderful authors, these Christian authors who share with us, they are so open about their failures, but how God has shown them how to turn that around for good. So I hope we're coming up on the construction zone, and I hope you get some constructive things finding out from the wonderful ministry they have, and that you go to church tomorrow and share the wonderful fact that he is risen. This is Kathy Thomas. God bless you.
Thank you for spending time with us today on Woman to Woman. Our hope is that you've been uplifted and encouraged by today's discussion. If you have topic suggestions for our program, please write to us at Woman to Woman in care of Good News Communications, 3222 South Ritchie Avenue here in Tucson at 85713. And join us again next week at the same time for Woman to Woman.